Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the INMO is urging the HSE to properly fund the Naudoc out of hours GP service in Donegal and Leitrim. The British government has confirmed it will hold an independent inquiry into the Omagh bombing. The family of a Donegal man who was shot 50 years ago by the RUC is seeking a new inquest. A former British soldier has been spared jail despite his manslaughter conviction for killing Aidan McInnespy in County Tyrone, and a man has been remanded in custody charged with the murder of Natalie McNally in Lisburn last month. Later, Kenny is here with the sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with the statement this evening from the INMO urging the HSE to properly fund the Naudoc out of hours GP service in Donegal and Leitrim. In a statement this afternoon, the organisation doesn't address the ongoing discussions on the future of the service and the possible takeover by CareDoc, but it says recent commentary on delays in triage at Naudoc points to funding issues and the need for the HSE to ensure that the service is safe. With more, here's Jade McCafferty.
In a statement this afternoon, INMO Industrial Relations Officer Neil Donoghue says both prior to and throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, nurses working in Naudoc sounded the alarm in relation to the serious lack of investment in the out-of-hours GP services for their communities. He says significantly, the HSE is directing the public to use out-of-hours GP services rather than attend emergency departments, but no corresponding increase in triage services has been provided. He adds that in the Northwest, the HSE have fundamentally failed to put in place the necessary structures and supports required to manage Naudoc, and nurses are reporting that this weakness is contributing to the risks to the public in terms of delays in patients being seen by GPs. He says the HSE continues to employ nurses on temporary contracts in insufficient numbers, which is simply unsustainable, given the demand for their skills and expertise elsewhere and the service needs.
The British government has announced an independent inquiry into the Omagh bombing. A device planted by the Real IRA exploded in 1998, killing 29 people, including a woman pregnant with twins. A father who lost his son has says he wants intelligence failings examined in the lead-up to the blast. Northern Ireland Secretary Chris Heaton-Harris announced the decision in the British House of Commons. He said he came to that conclusion after meeting with Michael Gallagher and other campaigners, and also after visiting Omagh himself.
I've met Mr Gallagher and representatives of the support group he chairs, the Omagh Support and Self-Help Group, which works to promote and advocate for the needs of victims of terrorism. I visited the site of the bomb with them, a very sobering experience, and crossed the road to the Memorial Garden, which commemorates all those who lost their lives. I've also met representatives of Families Moving On, another support group doing incredibly valuable work, helping victims and survivors to recover, grow, and sustain a sense of well-being. I've listened to the representations of these families and taken their varying perspectives into account. I've considered important factors such as the independence of any future investigation, the cost to the private purse, public purse, and how best to allay wider public concern. I've weighed these up against the clear findings set out by the court, which we must meet for any investigation to be effective and compliant with our international obligations, and which are at the core of my decision. Mr. Deputy Speaker, I intend to establish an independent statutory inquiry into the Omagh bombing. I've informed Mr. Gallagher and members of the Omagh Support and Self-Help Group, as well as representatives of families moving on, of this decision. The inquiry will focus specifically on the four grounds which the court held as giving rise to plausible arguments that the bombing could have been prevented. The inquiry will also need to take account of the findings of previous investigations to avoid duplication. I know that this is a significant decision.
And that was Northern Ireland Secretary Chris Heaton-Harris speaking earlier today in the House of Commons. There are now calls on the Irish government to make its next moves known, calls for a similar inquiry to be called on this side of the border. The family of a Donegal man who was shot 50 years ago by the RUC is seeking a new inquest. It comes after new evidence revealed that Michael Leonard was shot three times when the incident occurred. It happened in County Fermanagh, close to Pettigo. Councillor Micheál Nochtain says he and the family met with representatives of the Irish Department of Foreign Affairs yesterday.
We met with the Department of Foreign Affairs yesterday in Omagh, with Father McVeigh, which is the first cousin of Michael Leonard, the Leonard family, and also Kieran McGarth, which is the paper trail, and also Adrian O'Kane, a solicitor, in relation to the Michael Leonard case. In the inquest in 1973, it was stated an accident and only one shot was fired. But we discovered new evidence through the paper trail, and basically we discovered those over three shots flown. So we have asked for a new inquest. The Leonard family definitely need justice here, and they also need closure on this. Michael Leonard's mum and dad went to the grave without getting information. Now, we don't want any member of the Leonard family to go to the grave without this case being resolved. Michael will be dead 50 years come the 17th of May of this year, and we want to get some basically closure on this for the family. In 2019, we met with the police ombudsman in Omagh as well in relation to this case. We are very disappointed that nothing has moved in the last nearly 4 years in relation to this. So we're calling on the police ombudsman basically to get this case moving and get the investigation. And we're also calling on our own minister and foreign affairs, me, Martin, basically put pressure on to get this case opened up and get inquiries for the family.
And that was Councillor Micheál Nochtain. A former British soldier has been spared jail despite his manslaughter conviction for the killing of Aidan McInnesby in County Tyrone. 53-year-old David Holden was given a 3-year suspended sentence earlier this afternoon. Aidan McInnesby, who was 23 at the time, was shot in the back after crossing an army checkpoint on his way to a GAA match in Auchnacloy. His brother Sean says the case shouldn't have gone to trial.
He dragged us through the courts for years. It was like being stopped at the checkpoint every time we came here. We weren't looking for a pound of flesh. We're looking for just truth and justice.
A man's been remanded in custody charged with the murder of Natalie McNally. A court heard today, the suspect used an alleged live stream on YouTube as an alibi. With more, here's Ben Finnegan.
32-year-old Stephen McCullough from Woodland Gardens in Lisburn has been charged with killing Natalie McNally at her home on December 18th. She was 15 weeks pregnant when she was stabbed. The court heard he staged a broadcast on his YouTube channel with footage appearing to show him playing video games for 6 hours. The PSNI's Detective Chief Inspector claimed the accused interacted with Natalie's family in the following weeks and alleged he left his phone in the home and recorded 40 minutes of audio. Police believe this was to determine if the family suspected him of being involved in the murder. Stephen McCullough was remanded in custody to appear again at Craigavon Magistrates Court later this month.
A Northwest MEP claims millions of euro, which were supposed to have been used to help the Irish economy recover from COVID, is still sitting on a shelf in Brussels. Ireland was allocated 915 million euro in grants from the EU's Recovery and Resilience Facility. The money should have been used for investment projects and advancing the green economy. So far, none of that cash has arrived or been spent. In a statement, the government says it's made a first payment request, but MEP Chris McManus says other countries have already spent millions.
When you see nearly 1 billion euro in funding sitting on a shelf in Brussels waiting to be accessed at a time when people at home are struggling with a cost of living crisis, there's money that needs to be, you know, that money is for things like digital transformation in enterprise, digital funding for schools. We have not even started the process, so it's frustrating.
The ASTI and TUI are objecting to a proposal made by the Education Minister in relation to the Leaving Cert programme. It would see incoming fifth-year students sitting English and Irish Paper 1 at the end of the year, only halfway through the syllabus. General Secretary of the ASTI, Kieran Christie, says no amendments to the curriculum have been made to support this proposal, leading to students beginning the syllabus in transition year in order to be ready for the exams. Donegal County Council has been given approval to appoint a biodiversity officer. It's expected the position will be filled by September of this year. The council is one of 11 local authorities that's been awarded the funding, raising the national number of biodiversity officers in local authorities across the country to 25. The draft Letterkenny plan has been published. The plan sets out an overall strategy for the proper planning and sustainable development of Letterkenny from 2023 to 2029. The focus of the plan is regional parity, stronger urban place, a Letterkenny regional centre, the Northwest City region and strategic growth ambitions. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
The Letterkenny Town and Transport Plan aims to add 4,500 more homes to the town, accommodate 15,000 additional people, pave the way for the creation of 6,000 jobs, facilitate the delivery of the 10T Road project and other vital infrastructure projects, as well as creating a town centre regional transport hub, capitalising on the regional centre and northwest city region status. Another focus will be increasing the student numbers in town by 1,000 over the coming years. A number of opportunity development sites have been identified, while climate adaptation and mitigation plans have been highlighted. Environmental mitigation issues have been included in the form of zoning considerations and proactive objectives and policies. People can have their say on their plan between Friday the January 6th and Friday February 17th. The plans are available online or at public service centres across the county, as well as County House Lifford.
An exchequer surplus of €2.8 billion was recorded in January. That compares to €2.2 billion recorded for the same month last year. Tax revenue of €7.5 billion was €800 million ahead of the same period in 2022. VAT receipts were 18.5% higher. However, they were boosted by a technical factor. When that's excluded, there was still strong growth of 12%. Passport applications have trebled in the past month, according to the Tánaiste and Minister for Foreign Affairs. Applications have jumped from 1,400 a day in December to almost 5,000 a day in recent weeks. Editor of Air and Travel magazine, Owen Corrie, is advising parents applying for a passport for a newborn child that process can take a considerable period of time.
When it ramped up last summer, we had a lot of newborn babies. All of those first-time applicants ran into a backlog. I repeat, first-time applicants, because the online process, even when the whole passport business was under pressure, seemed to be performing very, very well. But first-time applicants, it's more complicated, and that's where we've seen the breakdown.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Recover from the toughest sessions with foam rollers and massage guns, or find your flow with the latest yoga mats and blocks in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. Good evening, Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with rugby, and Tadhg Furlong misses Ireland's Six Nations opener against Wales. Head coach Andy Farrell revealed that lingering issues with a calf complaint left him without his first choice tight head prop. Finlay Beelam gets the nod in the number 3 shirt beside Andrew Porter and Dan Sheehan. Tadhg Birnie and James Ryan there in the second row. Peter O'Mahony, Josh Van de Fleer and Keelan Dorris, they make up the back row. Ulster's Stuart McCluskey starts at inside centre and is partnered by Gary Ringrose. There's a back three of Hugo Keenan at fullback and Mac Hansen and James Lowe on the wings. Captain Johnny Sexton and Jameson Gibson-Park are in the halfback line. Bundy Aki is among the replacements for the match in Cardiff on Saturday. Meanwhile, Liam Williams, he'll start at fullback for Wales after injury ruled out Lee Halfpenny. The 34-year-old was due to make his first start for Wales in 19 months, but has suffered a setback spasm in training. And elsewhere, Manu Tuilagi has been dropped for England's matchday squad to face Scotland in Saturday's Rugby Union Six Nations opener. Joe Marchant will partner Owen Farrell at centre, while London Irish wing Ollie Haskell-Collins will make his debut. Flanker Ben Curry replaces his injured twin Tom for his second cap. Moving on to boxing, and Croke Park Stadium director Peter McKenna says security costs got in the way of staging a Katie Taylor fight there in May. Her promoter Eddie Hearn claimed last night that Croke Park was requesting more than the price of rent at Wembley Stadium. McKenna says their fee is in line with that of Wembley, but there were mitigating factors.
We'd be line ball really with Wembley. The issues really came down in terms of security costs, and I think you know we would lay out a fairly rigorous assessment of the risks involved in bringing a big event like that, 60,000-70,000 people into this area. It's going to be late at night and so on. And what would be involved in that? So I think the difference in it was our perspective of what that risk needed to be to manage and mitigate.
Meanwhile, in Gaelic Games, Director General Tom Ryan has defended GAA's handling of the All-Ireland Club football final fallout. The CCCC ordered a replay of the meeting of Kilmacud Crokes and Glen this week, 9 days after the game took place. But Ryan said the worst thing the GAA could have done was to intervene in the investigation process since the game. Moving on to schools soccer and the FAI Schools Senior Girls National Cup semi-final played today. There was good news for Skull Warrabuncranna. They defeated Colastia Fubal Roscrea by 1-0. Jodie Loughery with the winning goal there for Buncranna. In other news, Republic of Ireland striker Adam Ida is determined to get Norwich back into the Premier League. The 21-year-old Corkman has just signed a new deal with the Canaries to keep him at Carra Road until the summer of 2028. If Ida features for Ireland against France in the upcoming Euro 2024 qualifiers, he won't be up against Raphael Varane. The French World Cup winner has retired from international football. The Manchester United defender says playing for his country was one of the greatest honours of his life. Varane won the World Cup in 2018 and was part of the team beaten by Argentina in the tournament's most recent final in Qatar. Meanwhile, the Republic of Ireland under-21s, they'll play Italy once again in the 2025 European Championship qualifiers. Jim Crawford's side finished second behind the Italians in the last campaign before losing to Israel on penalties in a playoff. Norway, Turkey, Latvia and San Marino are also in that group. Cross-channel charges of attempted rape, controlling behaviour and assault have been dropped against the Manchester United footballer Mason Greenwood. The Crown Prosecution Service says it's because the withdrawal of key witnesses and the new material that came to light made a conviction unrealistic. The player was charged in October. United, who suspended the player almost a year ago, have not commented. In golf, Padraig Harrington is the best of the Irish on 3-under par following the opening round of the Ras Al Khaimah Championship. He's 5 shots off the lead of Japan's Ryo Hizatsune. Tom McKibben, he finished the day on 2-under. Gary Hurley is level par and John Murphy is 2-over. Seamus Power tees off his opening round at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am in the PGA Tour just after 6:30 Irish time. The Waterford golfers paired with Belgium's Thomas Dietry. And Olivia Mahaffey carried a 7-over par round of 80 on day one of the Kenya Ladies Open. The Belfast golfers 13 shots adrift of the leader Adati Ashuk. Finally for this evening on the score this week, Killian Duffy looks ahead to the Galway International Rally. Brendan Kilcoyne previews this week's National Football League action and Paddy McDade discusses women's football. That's all on the score just after the 7 o'clock news. It's back to Donald.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. Well, it's a Thursday, which means it's time for Farming News and Views, and we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll be looking at the March trade and how it's got off to a flying start this year. But first, the County Donegal Executive of the IFA is hosting its annual general meeting next week. To tell me more, I've been speaking with the Chairman of the County Executive, Brendan McLaughlin. So, first of all, I suppose in a way it'll be a case of mixed emotions for yourself because your term of office as county chairman is up.
Has come to an end, Chris. 4 years. Time's on quick. We have our annual general meeting now on the 7th of February here in the Clamory Hotel at 8 o'clock sharp. We have the president coming here, the Yes Speaker. But after a tough 4 years, Chris, we had the first year I was elected was 2019. Then we had COVID then in the following March 20. And it was very tough on the COVID terms. We had Zoom meetings for officers, Zoom meetings for National Council and County Executives. And it was a long time on the side not meeting people.
And then there were the hybrid meetings and then came out of COVID and great to see things getting back to normal. Now, if we look at the AGM, you are going to be replaced by somebody new and there's also a number of other positions up for election and the president coming up as well.
It's going to be, wasn't it, Chris? There's 5 elections, by the way. You're between the county chair, vice chair, assistant secretary and 3 commodities as well. The officers there had a lot of work to do, the commodity chairs, a lot of work to do. I'll just give you a list of what was going on here. With the greenways, with ANC, with roads, TNT projects, CPOs, Brexit, all that there happened with the forestry, with the planning problems there for felling on planting forestries, them and the cap, and with the environment, Chris. And then with the pigs, which we got support. And then with the suckler, where we got support from beef genomics and beef schemes for the calf weighing. And also the sheep, we were looking for 30 euro ewe, and all we got was 12. We were very, very disappointed in that one. Beef got supports as well. And then the lamb prices were good last year, but they're very not good this year. And we're looking for supports again. And then the milkman, he got on very well, but he's in crisis this year because he is on the derogation to lower the limit on organic nitrogen, so they need more land to take up. So that's a serious effect there. Milk prices were good. Another big problem is food security and environment. How are we going to marry the two together to work out? Because the scheme's going on to the environment, and then we want to retain the suckler cow here, especially in Donegal here, and that's a big thing. Affordability is the other one on the price of food. Can people afford to buy this dear food? But it looks like it. We can. Our commodities are got very, very dear. Our fuel, feed and fertiliser is going over the top. I want to thank all the commodity officers and our regional chair. And there's one I can't leave out, and that's Denise Walston there on the office of the second to none in all the work she achieved and has done there for years. And also Paddy and Tom, the staff, and not but least, but Ethan Carville there is a development officer, and his past one was there, Turlough Sleaney. The media was very, very important there. That's yourself, Highland Radio, Ocean FM, and the media.
And that was Brendan McLaughlin, the chair of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA. That meeting taking place in the Clanry Hotel in Letterkenny next Tuesday at 8 o'clock. Now, let's change tack. Adam Woods, beef and suckler editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. The 2023 March trade is really off to a flying start. So what's behind it all?
Yeah, Chris, I guess it's been a perfect storm over the last number of weeks. We've a number of drivers of this. One, I guess, is a low supply of finished cattle. We've seen real shortage in supplies over the last number of weeks. And that means factories have had to pay more to secure supplies on a weekly basis. We've really good beef demand. We've obviously a manufacturing beef demand that's really, really healthy. We've also got that Chinese demand that we talked about a few weeks ago. Factories would have thought that that would be a longer play, that it could be maybe April or May by the time they would put into motion the production for the Chinese market. But that has happened an awful lot quicker than they thought, and are currently slaughtering for China at the moment. And then to back this all up, you've got a really healthy export trade. You've got a number of new operators now with Turkish contracts for weanlings. And they're really, really hungry around the ring and very, very fit for those bull calves and the 300 to 400 kilo bracket. So all in all, it's a really positive start to the year. And we've seen, the mar trade almost take over the factory trade in terms of factory agents being around rings and paying for those animals over and above what those animals are really worth to go to a factory lairage. And we've done the calculation this week, like I said, to the tune of maybe over 100 euros, 120 euros, as regards more that some of those animals are worth than the mart ring, as opposed to going to the factory. So that's, we're looking at a 5 or 6% drop in cattle supplies between sort of January and June. We're actually up a little bit for the first month of January. So that means, supplies are going to fall off a little bit more than in the next 5 months. So that's all, it's all very, very positive at the moment. But look, I suppose in the back of all that, feed costs have gone up, fertiliser prices have gone up, energy costs are up. So farmers, they need that, and they need that to restore some confidence to the sector.
And you've looked at prices around the country. There is, of course, the Farmers Journal Mart Bids data, and Donegal coming out very well.
Yeah, I actually was in Donegal last Friday for their weekly sale. That was the first big sale that came back in 2023. And really, Emer McGuinness said in this week's paper that the trade was electric, and that's a great description of it. A lot of customers are in the ring. Look at very, very good cattle. Donegal is the name for a very good type of cattle up there. A lot of continental genetics in their animals, so obviously they're always going to maybe attract a premium, but a lot of good customers up there, and it's great to see farmers getting rewarded for those all types of stock, like right from weanlings to store cattle to cull cows. Cull cows were especially strong last Friday, and I think we've seen big numbers coming out over the last couple of weeks, and that's due to a number of factors as well. I guess farmers are looking at some cull cows or cows not in calf, and they're choosing to offload them at the prices that we're seeing at the moment. That's good business, I guess, rather than take them on a couple of months maybe and possibly take less. So,
how long can the upward curve continue?
For 2023, if we look around the world, we're seeing in the USA, a big, we'll say, drop in cow numbers over there. That's due to high prices in 2022. So we're seeing a lot of people liquidize their herds. And you might say, well, what has that got to do with Ireland and Ireland's finishers? But when we see something like that take place, maybe it takes the pressure off as regards going into some of the markets that maybe we might be competing with, but it could create some opportunities in other markets. And equally so, as regards the Chinese demand, the Chinese demand for beef is forecast to go up 675,000 tonne in 2023. But to put that in context, we export about 550,000. Now, we'll not fill that and we won't come near filling it, but the fact that South America and countries like Brazil and Uruguay and Argentina will concentrate their efforts on that, filling that Chinese demand and that Chinese market, that will take some pressure off mainland European markets. So that will leave us that we can, you know, continue as normal and trade in those high-priced European markets, which is very, very important for Ireland. I think 2023 will definitely be a good year. We're obviously going to tighten in supplies in Ireland as well up to June, and maybe a little bit of a levelling off after that, but nothing I don't think to be worried about. And the export trade, we're hearing from exporters, Turkey, Libya, North Africa, Morocco, big inquiries coming there for Wienlands, which is good as well, because that takes some cattle out of the system for us. So, yeah, I think it's looking good at the moment.
Now, the latest meeting of the 27 EU agriculture and fisheries ministers took place under the Swedish presidency this week, and there were proposals for a ban on live exports. So what's going on here?
So this is really concerning for Ireland. This is a proposed ban on live exports to the third country. So exports within Europe could continue, but there are a number of countries proposing to ban exports to third countries outside the EU bloc. And this would really jeopardise trade, I guess, for Ireland. And Minister for Agriculture Charlie McConnell made that statement at the meeting. And but there's 10 countries then came with a counter-proposal to not go with that full export ban. And Ireland is among those. You know, because the writing's on the wall here, I think, maybe for live exports in terms of, you know, higher criteria coming down the road. And we just need a plan in place then on farms as to how we're going to deal with that, because obviously we need calf rearing facilities either on dairy farms or on beef farms. And we need to deal with that now rather than this hit us, I suppose, in 2 or 3 years' time and we don't know what to do. So I think the headwinds are there and we just need to sit down and put a plan in place around how we're going to deal with it.
And that was Adam Woods, beef and suckler editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Weather forecast, breezy and largely dry for the rest of today. Isolated outbreaks of light rain or drizzle possible. Mostly cloudy with moderate, locally fresh and gusty southwest winds. Strong at times near the west coast. Mostly cloudy tonight with patchy light rain or drizzle. Many parts remaining dry. Lowest temperatures 7 to 9 degrees Celsius. Mostly moderate west to southwest winds. Those winds fresh at times near the west coast. Tomorrow Friday, largely dry with just some isolated outbreaks of light rain or drizzle. A good deal of cloud, but bright or sunny spells will develop locally. Relatively mild with top temperatures of 10 to 12 degrees Celsius, mostly moderate southwest winds. Those winds will freshen for a period in West Donegal with strong winds occasionally near the west coast. The main story's in brief, and the INMO is urging the HSE to properly fund the Nowdoc out-of-hours GP service in Donegal and Leitrim. In a statement this afternoon, the organisation doesn't address the ongoing discussions on the future of the service, but says recent commentary on delays in triage at Nowdoc point to funding issues and the need for the HSE to ensure the service is safe. The British government has confirmed an independent inquiry into the OMA bombing. The announcement was made this afternoon by Northern Secretary Chris Heaton-Harris. There are calls on the Irish government to announce a similar move. The Taoiseach has already said Ireland will not be found wanting in this regard. The Justice Minister, Simon Harris, said the Irish government is carefully studying the announcement from Westminster today. The family of a Donegal man who was shot 50 years ago by the RUC is seeking a new inquest. It comes after new evidence revealed Michael Leonard was shot 3 times when the incident occurred in Fermanagh, close to the border with Pettigo. And a former British soldier has been spared jail despite his manslaughter conviction for killing Aidan McInnespy. 53-year-old David Holden was given a 3-year suspended sentence earlier this afternoon. Mr. McInnespy, who was 23 at the time, was shot in the back at the checkpoint in Auchnacloy as he walked to a GAA match in 1988. And that's Highland Radio News for now. We're back with news headlines at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, have a very good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 2nd of February. The death has taken place of Stephen Brennan, Liz Moran, Bohola, County Mayo. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. Inquiries, please, to O'Hara Undertakers, County Mayo. The death has occurred of Henry O'Donnell, Glen Carr, Letterkenny and Carrickfinn. His remains are en route to his home in Carrickfinn, where he'll be waked from 7 p.m. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in Star of the Sea Church, Annagry, followed by cremation in Lakeland Crematorium, Cavan. House private pleas from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Rose O'Kane, née Devine, 42 Ballycommon Road, Strabane, formerly of Strawn Brack, Dunamana, reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 25 past 11 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Gloria McFadden, Abbey Villas, Manor Cunningham. Gloria's remains are reposing at her daughter Martina and husband Derek McElhenney's home at Raimohi Manor Cunningham until 10 o'clock this evening, with rosary at 9 p.m. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10 a.m, travelling via Manor Cunningham Village and down the Nows, going to St Columba's Church, Drumahill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Sean McCabe, 5 Railway Close, Killigordon, formerly of Belfast. Sean's remains will repose at McGowan's funeral home, Drumbo Avenue, Stranorer, until 7:30 this evening. Leaving there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Mass of the Resurrection at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to a charity of your choice, care of any family member, or Martin McGowan, McGowan's funeral home. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live on the St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon parish YouTube channel. And the death has taken place of Rose Marion MacDonald, Carnegarve, Moville. Rose Marion's remains are reposing at her home. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Pius X Church, Moville, followed by burial in Ballybrack Cemetery. Rose Marion's funeral mass can be viewed live on movilleparish.com. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.